The following lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg was recorded live and is presented to you free of charge by Galilei Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galilei Institute is a non-profit organization and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org or email us at inner@inner.org.
After the account of the giving of the Torah in this week's parsha, Parshat Yitro, so the Torah describes the experience of the people upon receiving the Ten Commandments, and the verse reads that the whole people saw the voices and the torches and the voice of the shofar and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they became aroused and trembled and stood from afar. So there are four images here that combine to describe the experience of the receiving of the Torah. First of all, there's a paradoxical union of the senses that the experience was so great, it reached such a deep point in the soul that the physical senses intermingled. That one saw the voice, as nowadays you think something is either video or audio, maybe both together. But here, the video was just the impression of sound as the first part of the experience, that the people saw the voices. And then the second part, that's paradoxical, because it says the torches is fire is something that you actually see with your eyes, with the physical eyes. Then it returns to the image of seeing voice, and it says, and they also saw the voice of the shofar, the great blast of the shofar. And then it returns to seeing something which is physically able to see, which is the mountain, Mount Sinai. It doesn't say it's on fire. The important image that this is the image we're going to discuss this evening is that it's smoking. The Etah Halashen. Now in Kabbalah, these four stages, once more, the first one is a paradox of seeing something which is otherwise just audio and not visible. The second one is a visible experience. The third one is once more seeing a voice. The fourth one is again witnessing and seeing something which is visible. The secret of these four stages of the full experience of the receiving the Torah followed the classic model of the four letters of God's name, the four worlds of creation. Was the first corresponds to the Yud of Hashem's name, which is in the soul as it reflects itself in the soul, is wisdom. That's just the seeing of the sound. What does the sound mean in the first context? It's the sound of the Ten Commandments itself, seeing the Ten Commandments being spoken by God and then related by Moses, by Moshe Rabbeinu, seeing the commandments being spoken to me. So the commandments are the Torah itself. The Torah emerges, manifests wisdom, the wisdom of God, and as reflected in the wisdom of the soul. Then comes seeing the torches, the lapidim. Seeing the torches, that's a mother image. That's the second letter, the second stage of the revelation. Then the third, we'll go through the first three quickly because what we want to reach and emphasize is the last one. The third is once more seeing the blast of the shofar. That blast of the shofar is something that touches the heart, it says. It's not something that arouses the wisdom of the mind of the soul. It's something which arouses, awakens all of the emotions in the heart. That's the function of the blast of the shofar. and that's why it corresponds to the Vav, to the third letter of Hashem's name, which in the soul relates to the emotions of the soul. But then finally, the final stage, which in God's name, Hashem's name, is the last letter, the final Hey, in the soul, that relates to Mahut. Mahut is physical existence as it is. And Mahut is the ability to transform for the better, as we were explaining last week, to undergo a true self-transformation, to transform reality as it is here down below, to become a vessel or a dwelling place for Hashem. And that is what is expressed by the last image, which is the most physical of all, looking and seeing the mountain smoking. Once more, it doesn't say that it's on fire. It means that Hashem ignited it. Because Hashem, when He descended on the mountain, He descended as fire or in fire. So Hashem's fire ignited, turned on the mountain. So it's not really a volcano that the fire is coming from, totally from below, even though that image does definitely present itself to think of a volcano. But the way it's described in the Torah is that Hashem descended in fire, just the mountain took flame, but what happened is that you don't see the fire, you see the smoke, just the smoke ascending towards heaven. Now it says that the difference between the first three images and this final fourth image is that the first three are all revelations from above, from heaven. The voices are from heaven, and the torches are torches, heavenly torches. And the shofar, the great shofar blast, is also a revelation that as though God Himself is holding this spiritual shofar and employing it as not a physical shofar. So all of these three first stages are supernatural revelations from heaven. Only the fourth really touches and takes hold of physical reality as it is. It's this mountain, this very physical mountain, Har Sinai, Mount Sinai, that it is smoking. And you see the smoke. So what we're going to try to concentrate on, focus our meditation on, is this smoke, the smoking mountain. So that's the meditation, the real physical meditation for this week's parasha, as the final stage of the experience of God giving us the Torah. And that experience is intended to be a continual experience that every day we have to experience anew the Torah given to us. And of all of the stages, what impression remains on the soul, the final one is this impression of smoke. It's all the first three ones, but not only are they all very spiritual, but they're all they all like touch the imagination of the eye and of the mind and of the heart. This fourth one, to experience smoke, appears to be very strange, like a strange thing to keep in mind that the final, the last impression of receiving the Torah is the mountain smoking. And so to understand this, we have to meditate on the word itself, smoke, what it means to smoke, and what smoke is. The word smoke in Hebrew, as appears here in this context, is ashen, which will spell shortly how it's spelled, ayin shin. Noon will analyze that word. But first we'll say what in Kabbalah this word stands for. Is it a symbol for something? Beside the physical smoke, and as if something physical is also a symbol, or linguistically an acronym for some concept or some set of concepts in Kabbalah. So obviously it doesn't mean that there's simply no relationship. We just take it at random, arbitrarily we choose a word and make it a acronym for something. Obviously there must be a real connection between the physical thing, which is smoke, and now the way that it's interpreted in Kabbalah. So how is it interpreted in Kabbalah? It's interpreted to no more and no less to represent and symbolize all three general dimensions of reality, of created reality. We which in the terminology of Sefer Yetzirah, which is the first classic work of Kabbalah, are called Olam Shana Nefesh in Hebrew, which means world, year, and soul. But world means space, and year means time, and soul means the coordinate of good versus evil as an expression of spirituality of the soul. That's the way it's explained once more. Space, when we speak of the world as space, we're actually talking about what nowadays we'd call three coordinates, three dimensions, which are east, west, and north, south, and up and down. All of those three dimensions are here in the terminology and the understanding of Sefer Yetzirah, all called one dimension of reality, which is the spatial dimension of reality. The second general dimension is the temporal, the time dimension of reality, which is called, which actually physically as we know it now, also is one coordinate, which is past and future, with the middle point of that coordinate being the present. It's one coordinate that has two extremes, whereas the spatial is actually three physical coordinates, and each one of the three has two extremes to it. The soul, the third general dimension of reality, as explained in Sefer Yetzirah, is the coordinate, call it the ethical coordinate of reality, that every point of time-space, like nowadays we speak of the four-dimensional reality of time-space, and every point in time-space also has another relatively hidden coordinate running through it, an infinite coordinate running through it that the physical eye and heart does not immediately observe or feel, and that's the coordinate, the soul coordinate. The soul coordinate is relatively, at any given point of time and space, are you in a good place? As every point can be potentially a good place and a good time to be, or it can be a bad place and a bad time to be. That's the spiritual coordinate. That of course depends on one state of spirituality of the soul, where he's at. The verse that expresses that best is a verse in Proverbs that reads that the soul is not good without the correction of its consciousness. And this third coordinate of soul, which is the coordinate of good and bad, is also called the coordinate of consciousness. And without that, without consciousness, the soul is not good. If there's a mature, well-developed consciousness in the soul, every given point in time and space is on the good side. And otherwise, you're on, as we showed, if the consciousness is not well-developed, not corrected, then in any given point of space and time, you're on the bad side of that coordinate. So that's the verse that in Hebrew reads, "Kam below that nefesh lo tov," without consciousness, the soul, the same word for soul, is not in a good place. It's in a good place of time-space. And if we now understood this, that the soul coordinate of reality is the relative good versus evil, where you're at and how, what you're conscious of, what about the world dimension, which is the spatial dimension of reality? So in space, as we said before, when you see something physical, like seeing the light, like seeing the torches, or even seeing the smoke in the mountain, so one can only see something if there's light, especially so if he's actually witnessing a light experience, like the experience of the torch. If everything is dark, like at the beginning of creation, there's all darkness, so you don't see anything. You don't experience the world around you. So it says in Kabbalah that the world, which is actually the spatial dimension of reality, in general is the difference between light and darkness. It's a coordinate of light and darkness, space. So if space is light and darkness, and soul, which is the most inner coordinate, is good versus evil, time is understood in Kabbalah to be an intermediate between the world and the soul. An intermediate that connects the world to the soul. What is time? What could be the similar experience of time as two opposites? When a person thinks about time, so you think about either being on time or off time. You made an appointment. So either you arrive at time or you're late. Maybe you're early. Because in time, you can either be early or you can be late. You can be on time, just right on time. If a person wants to make an appointment and he's not on time, so he's not faithful, he's not truthful, he didn't keep his word. It says in the Kabbalah there's something deep about time. The time distinguishes between truth and falsehood. Even with reference to God, when God promises something, as we were taught in the Torah a few weeks ago, and has not yet fulfilled his promise, because time has passed, and God promised to bring the Geulah, in this case it was the first redemption, the redemption from Egypt, and it did yet happen. It's taking too much time, too long an experience of time. So that undermines the faithfulness of God even, to a certain extent. That's explicitly stated, that God says, I don't want to be told by the patriarchs that I promised them at a given certain time I'm going to redeem my children. Now if I don't do it, I'm going to be a liar, God forbid. Once more, there's something about time. The time discerns between truth and falsehood. Just like space is a discerning or a differentiation between light and dark, and soul between good and bad. Right, so now we'll go back to our word, smoke. That the mountain is smoking. Once more, this word smoke is considered in Kabbalah as an acronym for the three general dimensions of reality, which are Olam, it's spelled Ayin, Shin, Nun. There are the initial letters of Olam, which means world, space, and Shana, which means year, which represents time, and Nefesh, which is soul. So first of all, it means that if you have some smoke, you experience, you're actually seeing smoke. So there's something about this smoke that you should be able to sense all these three dimensions of reality, and particularly in this experience of the smoke. Something euphoric about the smoke experience, that even physically, as we said before, there has to be a connection between the physical image and experience and what it stands for in Kabbalah. So once more, if this is the week to meditate on smoke, especially the whole mountain smoking, so that we should try in our meditation to feel in smoke the coming together of all of these three dimensions, which on the good side means the coming together of experiencing light and truth and good. That's good smoke. Bad smoke, which is the other side, would be darkness, dark smoke, and false smoke, and evil smoke. There's some smoking which is bad, not recommended to smoke. That's called evil smoke. But there's some smoke which is good smoke. The same thing goes for the timing. There's something about smoke that arouses some experience, some deep experience of time passing. When you see smoke, you should be able to experience in a certain way the duration of time, for the good and for the bad. And also smoke is obviously a intermediate between light and darkness. There can either be light there or there can be darkness. It's a translucent experience, also a topic I thought we mentioned last week. That the most translucent impression is one of smoke. So it means that it has both the sides of light and darkness in it, and it has a certain deep sense, which is hard to even express why, but a deep sense of smoking. So it's an expression of time passing, and also has a feeling of like a good smoke, like the incense in the temple. Good smoke. The smoke is in a certain way an elevation. Once more, the last symbol is one of the world below elevating itself to God. All of the first three symbols are God coming down to the world. But the last one is the world going up to God. It's an experience of smoke. So what type of smoke goes up to us? Like the incense in the temple. That is one of the deepest ways to serve God. And it represents the soul longing and being connected to its source above. And so the meditation then is to try to experience all these three dimensions of reality in the smoke itself. And finally, and to conclude, we'll meditate one more drop upon the word smoke as it's spelled in Hebrew, that not only does it stand for Olam Shana Nefesh, but it's very, very simply a combination of two words that appear in the several places in the Torah. The first letter, which is the predominant letter of smoke, is Ayin. Just as the letter itself, it literally means the eye. Just like last week we were talking about the 12 fountains of water, that every fountain of water is called an eye, which is a perspective on reality. And then the other two letters form, again, the name of the letter Shin itself. Just like the letter Ayin in Hebrew means literally the eye, the letter Shin, that as a letter, as it's spelled out as a letter, begins with a Shin and concludes with a Nun. And those are the two letters here. That here they combine together, it means a tooth, a Shin. So it's very clear for some mysterious reason that smoke is a eye and a tooth. So once we're now in our mind's eye, we have to create some type of a transformation or imagery that the smoke is the combination of an eye and a tooth. Once more, this is obvious, and a very obvious linguistic analysis of the word. No more simple way to understand this word than as such. Now, all of the commentaries have to relate and be linked to one another. Meaning that if before in the acronym that's brought throughout Kabbalah the three letters that compose the word Ashan, smoke, stand for the three dimensions of reality, which are world, which means space, and year, which means time, and soul, which is the experience of goodness in reality. So here we see that the first letter by itself stands for the I, and then the last two letters obviously connect the spell the word Shin. And once more, as we said, there are several places in the Torah that the eyes and teeth go together. This is very clearly related to the image that we meditated upon last week, which is that of the 12, once more, the 12 eyes, which are the 12 fountains of water, and the 70 date trees. In the Torah, in the Talmud, it says that the word Shen in Hebrew does not just mean the physical tooth, but it means taste. It means the taste of eating, especially of eating food. This month, the month of Shvat that we read this Torah portion in, is the month whose sense is the sense of tasting and eating. The part of the body that represents eating and tasting is the tooth. It's an image, a very simple image throughout the Torah. So once more, the tooth then obviously corresponds to the dates, which is the ultimate tasting of the fruit of Eretz Yisrael. In that context, it was the fruit of the oasis in the desert. At first you have to have the eyes. The eyes are the observance, how to correct and perfect your perspective upon reality. And then comes the self, what is eating for and tasting for? It's for integration and self-transformation, as we spoke of last week. So what comes now, the result of our meditation upon smoke? The smoke then is the union of seeing and tasting. To say that the word smoke is eye and tooth, so that translates to mean that smoke is a sight and taste experience together. Something about smoke, even you can think that when a person say you smoke a cigarette or something, which is the bad smoke that we talked about before. So it's also a taste and also a sight when you see your smoke going up. So you have a sight experience, and you also have a certain taste experience. Something tasty about smoke, a tooth experience. Once more, in the analysis of the word, so the taste has two dimensions to it. The taste corresponds to both the time and the soul. The eye just corresponds to the world, to space. The eye is the ayin of olam, which is the world, space. So once more, it's very, very clear now, if we'll try to put everything together, that the eye is what picks up and experiences light. And light versus darkness, that's a function, an experience of the eye. So that's why the eye stands for space. You know, as we said before, the experience of space is one of light versus darkness in the most abstract sense. But the tooth, the taste experience, has here two dimensions together. As though that there's, you taste time, there's something toothy about time, the time experience, but also you taste good. Now the fact that good is a function of taste, that's very obvious, an obvious symbol throughout the Torah. That it says tooth ta'am, a good taste. And the word even goodness and taste are almost, it's almost what's called phonetically related, the two words together. It's ta'am. Once more, so there's tasting has definitely and clearly has to do with the experience of good. The experience of good, of goodness, is the experience of the soul. That's the noon of the taste. But there's something about tasting that if a person senses, right, we'll go return to our, maybe conclude with the image we had before of a person being on time. Like, we want Mashiach to be on time, not to be... He's not going to be early, that's for sure. But we don't want him to be late. Just needs to be on time. Right? So, that's also... You experience another person, just in the world itself, there's something about time that also wants to... Because you can't really see time. How do we experience time? It's not like this. It's not a spatial experience. You can't see time. How do we know that time exists? In a certain way, time is more elusive even than soul. In a certain sense, it's clearer that there's a soul and that there's good and bad than time. So in a certain sense, time is the intermediate. But like every intermediate, in order to interinclude and to connect, to unite two opposites, it has to have a root which is above both. But for time, you can't see, you can't hear time, you can't touch time. All the things that you can do with regard to space, there's only some very deep taste of time. I said, this is something that has to be tried to meditate upon and to experience. That the tooth, which represents taste, here unites both dimensions, both general dimensions of the experience of time, plus the experience of a soul. Whereas the eye is the experience of the world, of the physical world, which is space, the spatial experience. And all of these experiences unite in the image of the smoke. So this is our meditation for this week, to see the mountain smoking and to experience space, time and soul merging together, all on their good sides, and to be able to see it and to taste it, which is a union of senses, just like the very beginning of this verse of the experience unites the two senses of, it begins with uniting the two senses of seeing and hearing. That you see the audible, so the end, the final image is uniting seeing with tasting. With the eye, with the tooth in the smoke. So wish everyone a happy smoke experience this week, and we should all merit to receiving the Torah anew every day.
You have been listening to a lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg, recorded and presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization, and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org, www.inner.org. In Hebrew, Galinai means, open my eyes. These words are from the verse in Psalms, open my eyes, that I may behold the wonders of your Torah. Under the leadership of Rabbi Ginzburg, our goal is to open the world's eyes to the light of the inner dimension of Torah, to discover God, and to connect to Him in all that we do. As we learn from the Baal Shem Tov, spreading this light will hasten the complete and true redemption. We invite you to join the Galinai team and participate with Rabbi Ginzburg in learning, teaching, and spreading the inner dimension of Torah, Kabbalah, and Hasidut. Together, the Galinai team will change the world, bringing God's loving kindness, health, happiness, and true peace to all. For more information about Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg's teachings and how to participate with the Galinai team, visit the Inner Dimension website at www.inner.org, www.inner.org, or email us at inner@inner.org.